Valley 104.9 FM's Homegrown. We shine a radio spotlight on a local Valley music artist.
Is Homegrown on Valley 104.9 FM, where we spotlight artists whose music has grown on our playlist. Artists our listeners keep responding to, requesting, and coming back to. And today, yet again, Homegrown is featuring an artist who hasn't just grown on our playlist, but also comes from right here in the Snoqualmie Valley. Meet Jindos, an American alternative band formed in North Bend, Washington. Jindos consists of songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and singer Elan Bodwick, also known as E.M. Bodwick, alongside vocalist Terrence Coons. In 2024, Jindos released their self-titled debut album, Jindos, a 12-track record recorded in Issaquah, Washington, with award-winning engineer Stephen Sherrard, and distributed online by Marzareth Records. They followed that release with the single Horror Machine on April 28, 2025, and then expanded that into the 6-track Horror Machine EP, released on June 11, 2025, featuring Horror Machine, Own Soul, Karaoke Queen, Thrill of the Chase, Faded Star, and Smaller Circles. Joining us today on Homegrown is Elan Bodwick from Jindos. Hello and welcome back again, Elan. This is Fakhruddin, and we are now on the second part of the 3-part series with you.
Hey, how's it going?
Perfect. So I know you've already released your next album, Horror Machine. You first released it as a single and then followed it up with the EP. So creatively, did anything shift between the debut album and the Horror Machine?
Yeah. So for the Horror Machine thing, I was able to work with a local. I discovered this guy. His name is Jesse Mazareth. He has a studio here in North Bend. A fantastic musician, a fantastic engineer, fantastic producer. His father was a guitar player in the Robert Palmer Band. Wow. Who were in the 70s and 80s were huge. That's his dad. And Jesse is just an incredible, talented musician. So, yeah. So when I moved over into the North Bend, it definitely was a slower process. It was taking more time on the songs, having Jesse play some parts. Like if I felt like I'm struggling with a bass part, Jesse would play a bass part. If I was struggling with maybe a little guitar part or something, I kind of would pass it on to him. He handled most of the drums. I would come up with the beats and the percussion and what I wanted. And he's naturally a drummer as well. So he would play most of the drums, which was kind of new. So it was a mix of like drum loops and real percussion, which was great. And it was nice because it was local. It was, just down the road. And then Taryn would once again kind of come in. And even at this point, me and Taryn weren't seeing each other as much. We both had like a lot of things that happened. Her mom got very sick. My father passed. My brother passed shortly after my dad's passing. There was a lot of kind of personal chaos. And the way I deal with that is I tend to just keep making music, keep recording, and I kind of bury myself in that. And I think Taryn was dealing with her issues with her mom and other issues in her life. And we got her in, and same thing, just kind of like hand her lyrics and she would just come in and nail it in an hour. So, that didn't change. But I think I definitely spent more time on the second release than we did on the first. And I don't know necessarily if that's for better or worse. There's a lot of stuff on this newest stuff that I'm actually Horror Machine, I think is really great. I think that's, we were kind of aiming for kind of like this weird new wavy kind of sound, but also like elements of Heart from, the 70s, the classic female-fronted Seattle band. And I think there's some of that in there.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun to work on. It's great working with Jess. I give a shout out to that guy, Mazareth Studios out here in North Bend. Fantastic. If any local artists, I can't recommend him highly enough. He's just great.
Super cool. I'm going to plug in as to how did I discover you folks. Sad part, and we should talk about that, is that even though, I never heard about Jindos. I actually figured out, I guess it was either Jesse or somebody who posted on the Facebook about you. And I guess this was about the time when you were probably recording the album. And then, first of all, kudos to you. I mean, you both went through a very difficult phase of your life and you came out stronger. And that was the time I actually got introduced. I was like, no, Gintos is not, doesn't sound like, because I haven't heard about them. I don't see you performing anywhere, though there are like number of performances in this whole region. Summer is like full of those. So I think at some point we should talk about what's the reason behind it. But yes, totally. I was, you know, I am in touch with those first Facebook. I follow them. So amazing. Good to see. And the quality of your production and amazing. That's, you know, for all to listen and feel and learn. Having recorded locally here is amazing to know. So super cool. I need to quickly touch upon, even though I don't want to touch too much about the horror, the second album, but the EP rather. But there is a song in there, right? Karaoke Queen. Is that inspired, connected a little bit with what happened with... Okay, perfect.
Exactly. And in fact, that one kind of has an Americana kind of... There's like this weird... Musically, personally, I'm all over the map. I mean, like, I think you can hear elements of like jazz and rock and new wave and power pop and electronica. And I mean, there's... On the whole Gintos kind of stuff that we did, there's a little bit touches of everything, and there's drum loops and real drums. And you know what I mean? Like I musically, I love anything. I don't care what style it is. If I like it, I'm going to use it. And I tend to like have that mentality. Karaoke Queen definitely was kind of about seeing her in that bar and seeing her perform. And the lyrics are pretty, I think, a pretty accurate description of how that place is. We got the sounds of like broken bottles and,
right,
and background noise and people bumping in the stuff, because I felt like that was accurate. We almost wanted to make it sound like it was being recorded while there was a karaoke thing going on. And we did that with Studio Trickery by using like sound effects and samples and things like that.
Right.
But yeah, that song is kind of about Taryn. And kind of about all those people that go on a Saturday night and for, you know, for a short 10 minute, you know, or a 5 minute song, they're kind of like a star for the moment, you know. And some people are really great. Some people are absolutely terrible. You hear them and you almost have to like die inside.
Yes.
And then there's other people that I like, I hear people and I'm like, God, I wish I could sing half as good as that, you know, so it's
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that song is definitely about that for sure.
I'm so glad you wrote, because the way I see it is that this karaoke bar are places where obviously for a listener, you know, you get terrible performance, you get amazing performance. But for the people who are performing, I think almost each one of them is taking a lot of courage to do something that they always wanted to do.
Exactly. And to get in front of people and do that.
Not easy.
Amazing.
Yes. Yep. Even if you are a seasoned artist, like I'm sure it's not easy. So kudos to all of them. And I've heard so many stories, not so many, but I'm beginning to hear stories about that place. I basically, at my workplace, one of my, you know, super bosses was telling me that about 3 or 4 decades ago, he actually was doing something here. So I think it's a place where there are a lot of stories, and you having picked one of them and made it into a song is amazing. Thank you. Kudos to you. Let me quickly switch over to the most interesting part that we want to talk about, is that the local connection. You know, it's such a beautiful place. It's a historic place. And thanks to Twin Peaks, and it's beautiful. It's close to, you know, the pass, and so skiing and all of that touristy, a lot of touristy things. So how is all this? Does the nature kind of, I know that, you know, you go to these places, you discover artists, and you've done that with Taryn. But besides this, how is the other vibes of this place sneak into your music, your production? Oh,
so like I said, Gintos is just one kind of side of everything I'm doing. I have I've released my own solo records, or I'm in the process of releasing these records and other projects. And so I live kind of I look out my front window and what I see is a farm and Mount Si. I don't see houses. I don't see anything. It's very kind of rustic. I grew up when I lived in New York, it was very crowded. I lived in downtown Seattle, worked in downtown Seattle, very urban, very crowded. The atmosphere here, definitely like the weather influences songs. The winter time is actually when my most prolific is, because the days, you know, you can't get out much. There's not much to do. So I tend to just sit inside and write. And the weather, the gray, all that kind of stuff, it definitely influences. And I would say, I don't know if it creeped in the Gintos as much, but like on my own stuff that I'm doing, it definitely is there. You can feel it. And in fact, I have songs where I sample some of the weather warnings that the areas have gotten, some of the moods, the kind of somber piano acoustic kind of stuff kind of captures that kind of winter blah that we get here, the rains, you know, the storms, things like that. So yeah, it definitely, definitely plays a part. Where I think if I was living in downtown Seattle, my music would probably be a little more frantic and edgier because it's just more urban.
That's the vibe.
It's a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the vibe of where you're living. And this is a very relaxing area. I'm very comfortable in my home area. So it is, that plays a huge part in what I'm doing.
Indeed.
For sure.
The breathtaking mountains and amazing.
It's beautiful. I've done a lot of traveling and seen a lot of places, and there is something about the local area that, you know, I mean, David Lynch saw it, the guy who did Twin Peaks. He came here and he could have chose any weird mountain town, you know, across the United States, Colorado, Idaho, you know, whatever. And there's something about this area that has kind of a weird kind of, like, I don't even necessarily know if it's a good vibe, but it's a strange, interesting vibe, which, you know, I think you can kind of latch on to, you know, if you're an artist or if you're a musician or you're, you know, writing or if you're painting. So.
Okay. So as you all know, this conversation ran for more than 13 minutes and we're bringing it into three different parts of this series. This was the second part. So time has come when we should play the second song. This time we are playing the title song from their second release, which is the EP. It's called Horror Machine. Let's listen to it and come back tomorrow for the third and the final concluding part of this series with Ilan Bodwick of Jindos.
I walk under a darkened sky, the gray clouds trembling on the edge of the night. I reached out and I called your name, offered love so vulnerable. You just left and turned away. You laid the ground, chose your path, played with all of your cards with them. Your hands holding on to an empty shell. Just another fool's tale to tell. And a fever dream, I scream and stir. Wake up with the I'm
It's Homegrown on Valley 104.9 FM, Northwest Eclectic.